Let's turn our Bibles this morning to Psalms chapter number 23, to the familiar passage, Psalms 23. And I don't know about you, but I've already been blessed by being at church today. And we look forward to what God has from us for His Word. If we've been blessed up to this point, it can only get better when you open the Bible, open God's Word. And so we look to Psalms 23 today. We began just a few weeks ago a new series on mercy, and it will continue in that series today, and looking at the familiar passage of Psalms chapter number 23. I'm going to read the entire psalm this morning, and we'll put our focus on the last verse of Scripture, but we'll start with this familiar psalm, Psalm chapter 23, beginning with verse number 1. The Lord is my shepherd. Let's do something this morning. Let's all read this psalm together. Can we do that? And Psalms 23, we'll begin with verse number 1. Ready? Let's begin. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We draw attention to that last verse of Scripture. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This morning, I'm going to preach a message with this simple title, Mercy Follows Me. Mercy follows me. And if I say this morning before I pray, if I can say, if mercy follows me, mercy follows you. And this morning, we want to be reminded of this truth. Father, we love You. Thank You for what You've already done. Thank You for Your Word this morning. And Father, we need You. Dear Spirit of God, we need You to speak to us this morning. We need You to encourage us, to challenge us, convict us. Father, there's one unsaved this morning in the service, watching by live stream, listening by radio. Maybe they've always believed they've been saved, but they've never had that time when they put their faith and trust in Christ. May conviction be real this morning. May yielding to Your Spirit in areas of our life that is needed, may we be willing to do so. We'll give You the honor and praise for what You do. Meet with us today. In Jesus' name, amen. There's something that is common among people, and it's a deeply human fear of being left behind. You think of a child who has that fear of being separated and left behind by a parent. Those of you that have children, you may understand this. I think back to my children, and at three daughters, and my oldest was one of those who was always afraid that she was going to be left behind. But as long as she could see me, she would be okay. My youngest was the same way too, but she had to be able to touch me. She had to be a little bit closer. Now, my middle one, she just said, I'm walking home. So what? They're all different. But there is something human about the fear of being left behind. As I mentioned, a child has that fear of being separated because of the dependence on that parent, because of the unknown. But we also have a fear of being left behind and forgotten, not just left behind by people, but left behind by God. See, when we are on the mountaintops of life, we don't usually fear that God will leave us. In fact, it is in those mountaintop experiences that we bask in the blessings of God. We feel He is near because of where we are. We feel He is near because we're experiencing His blessings. We feel He is near because there's pressure taken off of us, and we can just take a deep breath, if I can put it that way, and we can see the evidences of His presence everywhere. But may I remind us this morning that this familiar psalm that we probably all have seen before, all have read before, perhaps committed to memory, When David wrote this psalm, he is not standing on a mountaintop in his life. In fact, he is walking through life. Don't miss this, because this is key to getting the full meaning and understanding of this chapter. This is not a mountaintop psalm. If I can put it this way, this is a traveling psalm. He's walking through life, through valleys, through shadows, through enemies, through aging, through mistakes, even through victories that are so far removed they don't feel like victories anymore. And in the midst of this journey of life, he writes something that really should grab a hold of us. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. To fully put this in proper context, we have to really take a moment and look at this phrase, this statement, this verse of Scripture practically. What is he saying? He's saying not just in a crisis. And can we just say this morning, thank God that he's present in a crisis. Thank God that he is there when nobody else is there. But that is not what this verse means. It does not mean just in a crisis. It just does not mean when we can praise the Lord because everything is going right. It's not just in our failures. And let me just say, aren't you glad that when we fail, he does not leave us? And if you're here this morning, you say, well, Pastor Neil, I don't know what that feels like. Well, you should feel like it right now because you're lying in church. Because we've all failed and we're going to fail again. And it's wonderful to be reminded that he's there, not just in our failure, not just in revival, but all the days. Have you ever had those times where maybe it's you're reading the Bible, maybe it's a church service, maybe it's something special that God has done, it's an answer of prayer, and you can walk away from that moment and say, I know that God has been, I've been in the presence of God. I know that God has done something. But friend, may I remind us, when you're in a church service, you feel like God is doing nothing, when you're in a situation where you feel like God is not speaking, he is still there with you. He is still present. See, don't miss this statement. Mercy is not only God's response to our worst moments. It is God's companionship through our ordinary ones. We call on and appreciate the mercy of God in our worst moments. I preached last week that mercy is God's extension to us at our worst. God did not accept you at your best. It was at your very worst as a sinner, deserving of judgment and chastisement and punishment. He reaches down to us in our worst moments. But it's not just that. It's not just his response. And let me say, if you stumbled in here, figuratively speaking or literally this morning, and you're at your end, and maybe you've made a mess of things, or maybe life has just piled on you, don't underestimate the mercy of God. And God's mercy is extended to you this morning, and God will take you back, and God will strengthen you when you don't have another day to go. Even when it's not those situations when we're at our quote-unquote worst, mercy is God's companionship through our ordinary moments, our routine days. Our routine days are routine and not trials because of the mercy of God. Our routine days, our ordinary days, anything happened today? Nope, just another day. The only reason it wasn't a crisis is because of the companionship of the mercy of God. Aren't you thankful that we can look back at our low moments, at our valleys, and we can relate to David when he says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we can say, I know what that is like, and God's mercy was extended. God's mercy was there. But friend, may we stop and realize this morning that in those routine, ordinary days, we got through them because the mercy of God was still our companion. But we had no valley of the shadow of death we saw that day. We saw no battle that day per se, but his companionship of mercy was still there. See, when we stumble, we aren't forsaken. When we doubt, we aren't abandoned. See, we all like to think that I've got strong faith. You just face the right circumstances and you'll see how weak your faith is. All of us, if we're honest, can say there's been times in our life, and maybe it's today for you, I don't have the faith that I should have. I should have trusted God more. But aren't you thankful that His mercy is still a companionship? One of the most encouraging verses in the entire Bible to this preacher is the fact that God remembers that we are but dust. And He doesn't discount us. He doesn't throw us away because of our humanity. And let me help us this morning. Everybody in here is humanity. And you're going to be humanity tomorrow and the day after. And no matter how humanity looks at itself, it is just flesh and blood. It's imperfect. It can't achieve what God is or get close to what God, who God is. But when we are human, He doesn't destroy us. See, God's presence is with us in the form of His mercy. See, I just don't feel God. And sometimes we think that God is only present. Well, I have to feel Him. That's not the only evidence that God's present. Well, I just feel like I'm all by myself. Where is God? His mercy is still a companion. Mercy follows us. We don't know what to do next. Mercy follows us when the path feels long. Mercy follows us when the answers don't come. Mercy follows us when our strength is limited. Mercy follows us when our emotions are fragile. See, today, some are wrestling with weariness. Perhaps you would say, I'm not running from God. I'm just tired from walking. And sometimes where the question just starts forming in our heart is God still walking with me? Have I fallen behind? Did God move on while I was trying to survive? See, that's why Psalms 23 is not just a verse, not just a song, not just a poem for those that are strong. And we picture that David, that mighty man, that king, that great warrior who slew the giant and slew the bear and slew the lion. But no, here's a man who knew the valleys of life and was still traveling the valleys of life. And he could say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Maybe be reminded this morning that he's not expressing a hopeful thought. Society and psychology will say, well, just think positive. Yeah, I'm positive I'm going to die. I'm positive it's over. I'm positive there's no way out of this. No, it's not about thinking positive in that manner, but it's about echoing what David says when he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. He's not expressing a hopeful thought, a positive thought. He's declaring a certainty. The word surely is not a word of doubt. It's not language of conjecture. Surely is a confident word. It's a word of declaration. Truly, or this is fact, this is what I know. There's no doubt. There's no question. I have full assurance. This is settled, that goodness and mercy shall follow me. David's not saying, I think this will be true. This is not optimism. He knew this from experience. And might I say to us today that surely means mercy is not limited. Surely means mercy is not seasonal. Surely is not, well, let's see how today goes. Surely means mercy is going to be there every day in our journey of life. See, David can say surely because he's lived long enough to see a pattern. That God has been good. God has been merciful. And don't miss this. I think sometimes we can fail to see this or really latch on to this truth. He's being able to look back and say, I can say surely because of every time that I needed Him, He was there. I can say surely because every time when I didn't know if I would make it out of this battle, this valley, He was there. But David was not just sitting down and reflecting. David was still moving through life, and as he could look back and say, there's a pattern that mercy was always there. I can go forward in my life, and if there's another valley, surely that mercy is going to be there. And if there's another battle, surely that mercy is going to be there. And friend, this morning, let's make that application in our life. We could all testify that God has been good. His mercy has been there. And whatever you face in the future, whatever valley, whatever hardship, whatever uncertainty, the mercy of God is there. And you can say, surely as He was there in my past, He's going to be there in the future. Let me give us some truths this morning. Number one, mercy walks with us through every season of life. He said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me some of the days of my life. All of the days of my life. When you're young, when you're old. I almost said when you're smart, when you're dumb, but that, some of you wouldn't understand that. But David does not say that mercy shows up only when something goes wrong. Do you realize when things go right, it's because of the mercy of God? It's not because of your talent. It's not because of your favor. It's not because of you and how good you are. And yes, it's just the blessings of God. Because any blessing we receive from Him is the mercy of God. I'm thankful because of the shed blood of Christ in His mercy and that shed blood. When I reached out and said, I accept Jesus as my payment. My faith is on Him. I deserve hell, but because of what Christ did, I claimed that forgiveness of sins and I was washed in the blood, but anything above hell is a blessing. That's the mercy of God. And you getting to serve, you getting to be a part of anything that God allows us to be a part of is just His mercy. Mercy follows Him all the days of His life. It means mercy's present in good seasons and bad seasons, in times of joy, in times of sorrow. See, mercy is not reserved for emergencies, and that's really the theme I want to take away with today. It's not just reserved for emergencies. When God planned you and your life in His mind before the formation of this world, He said, I have a plan, and I'm going to create this individual to fulfill that plan. He assigned mercy to you. He assigned mercy to me. It is not just a response to crisis, but it's something that God has given us as a companion for us. Often when we talk about, well, God is with us, and if you're saved this morning, the Spirit of God dwells within you, you're never without Him. But we often say, well, God is with us, and how is He with us? And certainly God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. But when mercy is with us as a companion, God never leaves us. You know, that means mercy is there when you're moving forward. It means He's right by you when your progress is slow. It doesn't rush. Mercy doesn't rush us. I'm a fast walker. Everybody in my family's got short legs. And I'm going from point A to point B. Let's not waste any time getting there. And it's like, hurry up, let's go. One of the most frustrating things in the world to me, and some of you are going to do it now, is you get in a crowd and people why don't you walk? I'm not talking about people who can't walk. I'm not talking about that. But people, you know, you can have that conversation not in the middle of the parking lot. Right. That's for some of you. Anyway, what's my point? Point is, hurry up, hurry up. Aren't you glad mercy doesn't do that? Because we can say, hurry up, and the person can say, you know, I just had surgery. Or I have an affliction. But see, God's mercy, whenever that pathway is moving slow, He's right there with us and He's not pushing us. He's our companion. See, this is important because sometimes we can be faithful but still tired. You can be obedient but still hurting. You can do right and not see the results. This is so important and so key in the life of the Christian, because sometimes the most discouraging seasons are not the ones that are caused by sin. They're just caused by life. They're just caused by time. Am I making progress? I guarantee you there's some in the building this morning that you just ask that question. Am I making any progress in my Christian life? Am I getting any further removed from this situation? You get frustrated, and that seems like time is going on and I'm not as far down the road as I think I should be, or these things haven't happened that I thought would happen. And it is time, and you wonder, has God left me? Has He forsaken me? Well, friend, I can tell you this morning that mercy is right next to you. Let me say statement number two: mercy is steady because God is steady. He said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. He doesn't say, surely my consistency, surely my strength, surely my discipline, surely my talent and ability, surely my standing in the church. David points away from himself and toward God and says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. See, mercy does not follow you because you walk well. And let me say, we ought to walk well in our Christian life. We ought to walk worthy of the price that was paid for our sins. We agree with that? You're not saved this morning because of what you do. But because you're saved, you ought to walk worthy of the sacrifice. That's why our nation, if I can make this analogy, our nation's got problems. There's more things I seem to not like about our government than I like about our government. But you know what? There's been a price paid for us to live in the United States of America. And I can complain and I can whine and say this isn't fair. But as an American, I want to walk worthy of that blood that was shed. I want to walk worthy of the sacrifices that were made. Can we not, as God's people, say, yeah, I know I'm saved by the grace of God, and I have mercy of God. That's the only reason I can call His name. But we should walk worthy of that blood that was shed by the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not why mercy follows us. That's not why mercy is our companion. It is because God favors us, and His mercy is steady. I've got to hasten. But let me make a couple of statements before I move to number three. Mercy does not fluctuate with your emotions. Some days it's just hanging on. It does not adjust based on your performance. Aren't you thankful that God doesn't wake up and decide whether He feels merciful today? You ever heard this phrase, well, they just woke up in a mood? There's no definition of that, but everybody in here knows exactly what that means. God doesn't have to decide how He feels today. God's nature does not change. And He is merciful, and that mercy follows us. See, David's confidence is not in his own ability to stay close to God, it's in God's determination to stay close to him. David knew what it was like to be close to God. David knew, God called him a man after his own heart, but David knew what it was like to be away from God. But his confidence was not in his own ability to stay to God. Let me say, you and I can raise a hand and say amen, that God is always close by, that His mercy is there. But that confidence does not come in our ability. It does not come even with our walk with Him. It doesn't, because no matter who in here has the closest walk with God, it's still an imperfect walk. There's still times of discouragement. There's times of doubt. There's times of apathy. But we are confident, and I can stand here today confident that God's mercy is your companion, and it's steady because God is steady. It's steady because God is not going to change. It's steady because God has said that His mercy would be with us. I guess I could say it like this before I move to number three. Mercy is not dramatic. It's dependable. No matter how dramatic we are, mercy is not dramatic. It's dependable. Let me say number three. Mercy chases us when we would give up on ourselves. There are moments in the Christian life when we give up on ourselves. I would dare say in the great Emmanuel Baptist Church that there's probably a time when every person's life that's in the building, and even those watching by live stream this morning, where you've given up on yourself. I can't do this. I can't overcome this. Life is too heavy. And truth of the matter is, we've probably quit in our mind and quit in our heart. But can I say it wasn't the pastor who chased you down? It was mercy. It wasn't that Sunday school teacher that chased you down. It was mercy. It wasn't that friend that chased you down. It was mercy. It was mercy that we're all here today. Sometimes that giving up is I should be growing faster. I should be further along than this. Or we make that same mistake and say, I should know better by now. Or maybe we get in a place of self-pity and the devil loves to see us here. Well, God's already given me too many chances, and I just don't think that I deserve another chance. Friend, we didn't deserve the first chance. And because of the way we feel like God feels the same way we feel. But while we're saying, I should be further along than this, God is like, my mercy is right there with you. Just keep going. When we say, I should have known better, I fell again. I tripped over the same thing. I should know better. God says, I remember that you are but dust. And my mercy is right there with you. Get up one more time and keep moving forward. We say, well, I've had too many chances, and I've messed up too many times, and I just don't think I deserve another chance. And God's not thinking what we're thinking. God is saying, I'm going to give you another chance. It's not about what you deserve. It's about who I am. It's about the mercy I'm bestowing, and mercy's right there with you. Psalms 23 reminds us that mercy is following us. It's pursuing. Let me just stop and mention this. Probably all of us know somebody that we would call a prodigal, somebody that with somebody out there. Let me tell you, don't ever give up on them. You know why? Because mercy's chasing them. Mercy's chasing them. And friend, if you're away from God and you're under the sound of my voice and whatever means this morning, it's not the pastor you should be upset at. It's not your Christian mom and dad you should be upset at. And I wish y'all would just leave me alone. It's not us bothering you. It's mercy chasing you. It's the Spirit that dwells within you that's calling you back to Him. Mercy is close. Mercy's pursuing. Long after man says, I'm done. You've gone too far. I don't know what to do with you. Mercy's still got a grip. Mercy's still hanging on. Mercy is staying close. See, there's some, if you had the opportunity this morning and you were willing and courageous enough to do what you would stand to give testimony and say, I will not be here today if mercy had left me alone the first time I said no. There's many serving. There's some who stood in Sunday school classes today and you tried to quit. There's young men and young ladies and singles who serve the Lord today and you tried to give up. You tried to quit. You even positioned yourself to make it easy on you to get away. But mercy would not let go. So why can't I get away from it? David testified about it. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Mercy chases us when we would give up on ourselves. Let me just close number three before I move to number four. Somebody might be here today to say, I've given it a try. But mercy is going to keep chasing you. Mercy is going to keep, Pastor, why wouldn't you leave me alone? It's not your pastor's mercy. Still whispers come back. We would give up on ourselves. Don't give up on yourself today. Don't give up on the opportunity God has in front of you. Well, Pastor, I keep coming up short. And yet, here you are with another chance. What is that? That's mercy. Number four, mercy follows us for our entire journey. David said, now, let me just warn you. I've liked everything that's been said so far. I like the introduction. I like point one. I like point two. I like point three. I really like point four. David says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Not just the young years, not just the productive years, not just the strong years, all the days. Mercy follows you into old age, and there's a group of you that should say amen to that. Mercy follows you into grief. Mercy follows you into weakness. Mercy follows you into obscurity. All the days of my life. Friends, sometimes we can get discouraged because we were serving in some capacity and the season of life came and our circumstances changed. Maybe it's health. Maybe it's some other circumstance. Maybe it's the years that have gone by and we say, I can't produce. I can't do. Friend, that has nothing to do with the mercy of God following you all the days of your life. And God is your faithful companion. But look what else he says in verse 6. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, there's no season of your life when mercy resigns. And then David ends this psalm with hope. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, mercy doesn't just follow us through life. It carries us all the way home. And friend, as a child, if you're a child of God today, it's because of His mercy. And that mercy follows you all the days of your life. And it's going to be because of that mercy that we dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Friend, there's not going to be a day on this planet. There's not going to be a day on this side of eternity. There's not going to be a day on this side of death that mercy is not our companion. But friend, when we take that last breath on this side of the earth, it's not mercy the end in our life. It's not the end of the story of mercy. Oh no, mercy travels with us into eternity, and mercy is there to get us home to be with the Lord all the days of our life. That's the wonderful thing about salvation. And can I just say this morning, I like being saved. I like being forgiven. I like having the peace in my heart, the knowing that I have a home in heaven, that my relationship is with God is what it should be because of the Lord Jesus Christ. I like being saved. I don't want to be one of these miserable Christians, I'm saved and I'm so happy about it. No, I like being saved. I think it's a wonder. If you're not saved this morning, you may not understand it. If you trust Christ as your Savior, realize what He did for you, you can get a glimpse of it. I like being saved. I like the fact that mercy is with me. Man, it's going to be a whole lot better. Mercy takes us all the way home. I'm glad that I can rejoice in my salvation and I'm not afraid of losing it. You say, you don't believe you can lose your salvation? No, I don't. Why not? Because God said you can't. My salvation is not based on what I do. My salvation is based on Him and who He says He is. And that mercy that found me when I trusted what Christ did on Calvary is my companion every moment of my life, all the way to the house of the Lord forever. David does not tell us that mercy will find him someday. Pastor, I hope I find that mercy. No. You're missing it. The fact that you're here means mercy's following you now. See, David, he wasn't this way because he always knew where he was going. I wish I had I wish I could be as confident as him because he knew where he was going. David, read the story of David. He didn't know where he was going, but he knew God was merciful to him and his companion, even when he didn't know where he was going. See, he was not confident. He did not say these things because he thought he would find mercy because God had already decided not to leave him. I remind you, that's what surely means, truly. It means God is not reconsidering his commitment to you, and maybe you need to hear that today. He's not reconsidering his commitment to you. That consideration is not up for reconsideration. It means mercy is not playing catch up with you. It means you're not walking along. See, this morning there's a couple of different groups. There's some, and you would say, I've had too many chances. I keep making a mess of it. And that mercy says, won't you keep going? Won't you come back to me? And there's others, there's nothing like that going on. You're just in the everyday, and shall I say it, the mundane, everyday occurrences of life. There's no crisis. There's no great up. There's no great down right now. It's just day after day. And sometimes those can be the most disconcerting days. Well, what is God really doing with my life? What is he really there? Friend, the reason why you're not in crisis, if you're not in crisis, the reason why you're not in crisis is the mercy of God. Maybe recognize his mercy today. Certainly when we talk about salvation, we have to recognize the mercy of God. But living as a child of God, we need to continually recognize the mercy of God. Surely, truly. Friend, you don't have to panic when you're going through the valley of the shadow of death. Because when you go through those valleys and you traverse those unknown roads of life, mercy is going to follow you. Well, when it say, well, life didn't work out the way I wanted it to work out. Well, let's focus on and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, we're going to spend eternity with our Savior. And every day of eternity, we'll be experiencing the mercy of God. Friend, let's be reminded that mercy is not going to leave you. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you've never truly experienced the mercy of God, I invite you today to receive Christ as your Savior. I think it'd be good for us today to just recognize God's mercy in our life. Well, Pastor, I'm not going through any crisis. Life's good. That's the mercy of God. The mercy of God. No, I just don't feel very steady right now. Aren't you thankful God's mercy's steady? Maybe you're going into a new season of life. Let me remind you what David said in the scripture, all the days of my life, the mercy is going to be there. We hear statements, we make statements like, well, you ask people, how are things going? And say, well, they could be better. And I always like to respond with, they could be worse. Pastor, they're pretty bad right now. They could be worse. Why aren't they worse? The mercy of God. The mercy of God. Hey, we should be in. You can be on the mountaintop and you ought to be encouraged and you ought to give God thanks and praise because it's His mercy that's got you on the mountaintop. But if you're in that valley of the shadow of death, you also equally ought to be thankful for the mercy of God. By the way, wherever there's a shadow, there can't be a shadow without a light. And just because there's a shadow doesn't mean the light's not there. The valley of the shadow of death. Now, I said that not too long ago. Somebody came up to me, well, it could be a train, Pastor. God's mercy. God's mercy. Every day when you can call on His name, it's His mercy. You got to sing a little different in the choir when you think about His mercy. You ought to hold your head up high and throw their shoulders back as you serve in the whatever capacity you serve in. It's because of God's mercy I get to do that. And hey, if you're thinking of quitting this morning, why don't you take that resignation that you've written in your mind and just in your mind tear it up today? Well, I should have had more faith. The mercy of God. His mercy follows me. If it's following me, I can have confidence, not in myself, but in Him. Father, we thank You for Your mercy.